Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. We're going to talk with Becky Endicott, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Wichita State. We're going to be talking about a landmark year for the women's teams here in the athletic department. Becky, how are you today?
Good morning, Paul. It's great to be here with you.
Take us back to middle of August. The school year was ramping up. Everyone was excited about getting into the American Athletic Conference. We knew it was going to be different. We knew it was going to be, you know, a step up more so in some sports than others. At that point, were you more excited? How much were you curious, a little nervous about how things were going to go? What was kind of your mindset back then?
Well, I think at that point it was the challenges that we were going to face, not only with scheduling. You know, obviously our scheduling had drastically changed, but I think it was also wanting to know and kind of thinking through how are sports going to compete and which sports are going to be able to compete in the American and which sports are we going to really have to look at our non-conference schedules and hope that they're going to help us enough if we can't compete at that level to be able to get at-large bids and to be able to move up in, say, the ITA rankings in tennis or to be able to just put out a product that is competitive within a conference that is very, very good in women's athletics.
The at-large business was good. Let's do a brief recap, some of the highlights and why it turned out to be such a strong season. Volleyball, unbeaten American champions, hosted NCAA play for the first time. Softball team advanced to the NCAA regional round for the first time, got an at-large bid for the second time in program history. Women's tennis, at-large bid for the first time, defeated Syracuse and lost in a competitive match to Mississippi. Women's basketball, 9-7 in the American, 14-17 overall, defeated number 23 South Florida. So there was some wide-ranging success. Wichita State had the Taryn Torgerson won the individual medalist at the American Golf. How much of that success surprised you?
I don't know if I was actually surprised. In I think being new in the first year and having to deal with the travel, I think that obviously was way different for a lot of our sports, particularly volleyball that went from playing on a Friday, Saturday to now playing on a Friday, Sunday, and having an actual day in between to not only prepare, but to be kind of dormant and, you know, have to practice and do some things different, all the way to cross-country, happened to run a cross-country meet in Philadelphia. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's quite a way to travel to just run a cross-country meet. And then as you move into women's basketball and in our spring sports, I think the travel made the biggest difference. And how are your student-athletes going to react to that travel? And are they going to be able to, you know, do their routines like they've always done in the past? You know, historically, volleyball's always bust everywhere, pretty much so outside of a few charter flights here and there to try to save the legs of their kids. And so how are they gonna change their whole routine by now having to be in airports all the time? So I think I was surprised, although we had done our homework a little bit. We knew which sports could be really competitive on the women's side in the conference. Obviously, one of the big surprises was the 18-0 for volleyball. The American's a very good conference in volleyball, and I think last year was kind of a down year for them just due to some injuries in specific other sport programs. But it's always good to see your programs continue to be able to be successful and do what they do. You know, going undefeated in the conference wasn't unusual for volleyball. They'd done it before. They went 18-0, and I think one year they went 29-0. And so that wasn't unusual. I think the things that we look forward to when we moved into the conference is being competitive. We really thought our programs could step up and be in the top three in all of our women's programs.
The travel, what kind of feedback did you get from coaches and athletes, and what did you learn maybe going forward?
Well, I think what we learned is, you know, there's a lot of downtime in airports, and how do we use that downtime? You know, with the new NCAA rules on time management, and you can't use a day off as a travel day. Right. So finding alternate places to practice, finding ways that coaches can break down film on those off days when they're in an airport, giving them the resources to be able to do that. I think that's where the challenge becomes, is how do you manage your time when you're theoretically sitting in an airport? One of the things that I love the most about this year is watching the softball team watch the selection show in an airport. Coming back from Florida from being at the conference tournament and seeing them and how they use their time, or traveling with volleyball and seeing student athletes now who are not on a bus and don't have the availability to be on a bus for 5 or 6 hours, using their time productively and working on academics and doing some of those kind of things. So I think it's been a big challenge. It will continue to be a big challenge. I think the conference is really looking at that. You know, next year volleyball is going to an 18-team conference schedule versus a 20-game conference schedule, which I think will make a difference in travel. The following year, they're going to 16 games. So they're going to play in divisions. And so that will help with travel, so that you're playing everybody in your division twice, but you're only playing out of division once. So we're continuing to look at that, and hopefully our student athletes have adapted. You know, softball being down in Tampa for 10 days, that's a long time to be away from school and to be away from your home and everything else that goes on. But I think that our student athletes, when you talk to them, they found that they were bonding a little bit more. They were really, truly enjoyed it, and they got to spend more time with each other.
The volleyball scheduling is interesting. Is that a move to give people more non-conference play dates and help that kind of that
it actually of it? Is. It's an opportunity. Actually, in 2019, we'll have a volleyball tournament, which volleyball currently in the American is the only sport that doesn't have a tournament. And so in 2019, we'll go to a volleyball tournament, and it also gives us an opportunity to play, as you said, better non-conference. You know, we came from a really good volleyball conference. You know, our previous conference had a very strong volleyball. When Creighton was in it, and still in it, in our conference, and Missouri State, and you and I, and us, and obviously every once in a while, Illinois State, our conference was extremely strong. And then Creighton left the conference, and we still continued to get 3 bids, you know, along the line. So what we're trying to do with the American is make sure that those coaches are scheduling the right way in non-conference, and that we give our programs the best opportunity to get at-larges as a conference. It's just like last weekend in softball, our softball players are rooting for Houston. They're rooting for USF. I mean, they're rooting for the non-conference schools once you get to postseason play, because that just makes your conference stronger.
When I talked to Chris Lamb a month or so ago, he was in favor of looking at a conference tournament. Why do you think that's a good idea?
I think what it does is it gives your coaches additional free playing dates. Conference tournaments don't count in your normal playing dates, so it gives you that opportunity to do that. And it gives the opportunity at the end of the year for the best teams to play each other. The format that they're looking at, the volleyball coaches are looking at, is 1 and 2 from one division will come to the conference tournament, and 1 and 2 from another division will come to the conference tournament. And then 5 and 6 will be determined on the conference play records of their out-of-conference opponents. Meaning, like, we won't play USF and UCF twice. So did we go to those places or them come here? Because you might have a division where your 4th-best team is better than your 3rd-best team in the other side of the conference. So the coaches are trying to still figure that out. Hopefully they'll have it figured out by the time, I think they're in conference calls now, and we'll be in Dallas next week, and hopefully we'll have a format that we can roll out sometime over the summer.
So you would play Tulsa twice and then Temple once, that kind of a
rotation. Yeah, that kind of a rotation.
Were there differences geographically in the style of volleyball? That's what I kept trying to figure out. I don't watch enough volleyball to know, but, I mean, was it different playing you know, such a widely based geographic volleyball conference as opposed to the Valley, which was pretty, you know, pretty much Midwest?
I don't know if there's a difference in style. I think there's a difference in style between us and Creighton, or us and Missouri State. I think what it was for us this year is we're seeing everyone for the first time, and they're all used to playing each other. They've played each other for 3 or 4 years, so they're all used to playing each other. Where we were going into new gyms, we were going into new cities, and we had never played anybody. So I think there was a little bit of an element of surprise too, for our opponents, because they had never really played Wichita State. And so I think that if you say a difference in style, I would say no. You know, everybody's style is, everybody wants their style to be a fast, quick game. And so I don't think that really made a difference for us. I think the thing that was the element of surprise in the availability for our student athletes to adapt to changing environments. We're in metropolitan cities now instead of, you know, small university towns. We travel differently. We do a lot of things differently. So, you know, we'll see. But I attribute a lot of that to our athletes. They accepted the challenge and they went with it. And particularly in the sport of volleyball, they had a large senior class that was able to keep everybody kind of in check and to say, you know, this doesn't matter if we're playing in the Missouri Valley Conference or we're playing in the American. We're still playing volleyball. We're still trying to win a championship.
Softball's fresh on everybody's mind after they went down to Fayetteville and beat Oklahoma State twice, got eliminated by the Razorbacks. Being in the American helped their at-large candidacy quite a bit. How did you see that conference influencing Shocker softball this year?
Well, I think when you take the Southern schools, the UCFs, the USFs, and that play softball, Houston, they have great schedules. So I think their scheduling philosophy, you know, to be the fourth best conference in the nation in softball, as the American is, I think that makes a big difference. Although I will say, you know, our softball team's strength of schedule this year was 23, I believe, and that's probably the best schedule we've ever put together. And part of that is because where we live. We live in the middle of the Big 12, and we can get to tournaments, you know, that have SEC schools in them, and we can get to tournaments that have the availability to help our RPI in the end. I think the big huge, and we knew we had somewhat turned the corner this year, is early in the season when we beat Texas at Texas. I mean, that's pretty hard to do. And so I think the conference helped us. I think the conference coaches for softball understand non-conference scheduling and how you have to schedule in order to be able to help the conference and help every team in the conference. You know, the Florida schools sit down there in SEC and ACC school in territory, so they can schedule those. And, you know, when you can get a win over Florida, like one of our conference schools did, I mean, it makes a big difference in how it helps everybody else in the conference and the conference's RPI.
Well, women's tennis may have had the biggest jump out of any program here at Wichita State. It's also a little bit of an odd duck because they don't play a conference schedule, but it did help. They got an at-large bid for the first time. How did beating the American help the women's tennis program?
Well, I think what helped is we don't play a conference schedule. I think that helped the most, because before you're having to play conference schools that ITA rankings weren't as high. And so you're using a playing date and you're going to go play somebody and you're going to win easily. And then you're going to go on and play somebody else and you're going to win easily. Well, it made an opportunity for Colin to be able to go out and schedule his matches with the idea of getting his ITA ranking to get an at-large bid. And then it's up to the student athletes. You got to win. But I think at that point in time that it's really helped tennis. I think it's helped, you know, it's similar to golf. Golf has been able to do that in the past. Theirs is all based on golf stat rankings. And so what tournaments can you get in? What, you know, what matches can you play that are going to, in the end, help you get a better seed in your conference tournament.
So now you've got these programs that have access to at-large bids in ways that maybe they didn't previously, and that would, you know, that would include men's basketball. They got a number four seed. Does it change how the programs look at themselves, how they measure themselves?
I think one of our goals is, and I think you and I have talked about this before, Paul, is we want all our programs in the top three in the conference. And when you're playing in a Power Six conference, being in the top three is harder than playing in the Missouri Valley Conference. And all that does is breed, you know, success breeds success. If you look at the history of us over, say, the last 10 years in women's athletics, you know, we had won an average of like 3.5 conference championships every year in the last 10 years. This year we won one, particularly volleyball. So that tells you you've moved up a step. So I think you're in a situation where there's better athletes, there's better competition, and I think the key component of it is, how do we get better? You know, what, taking a look at our teams and how are we scheduling non-conference to help our opponents in the conference, but how do we get better? How do we continue to move forward and start moving ahead of that three or four teams are winning conference championships every year? You know, women's athletics has had a lot of success here, and we would consider this a banner year with, you know, volleyball making, you know, hosting a regional, and softball making it, and women's tennis making it, and everybody winning a first round game in the NCAAs. But how do we get women's basketball better? Even though we play in a great conference, you know, how do we get an at-large? How do we schedule our non-conference in order to know that if we go, you know, say we win 75% of our conference games, what did we do in non-conference that helps solidify that? You know, with UConn in our conference, it's always going to be a challenge. And they're going to help us because they're going to get great wins. But how do we help them? Because we've got to get great wins as well to help the conference continue to move forward.
I know you had cheesesteaks in Philadelphia on the volleyball trip, visited the Rocky statue. What other snapshots did you get from this first year? Did you have a favorite city that you visited, some sites that really stuck out? That
I think my favorite city, and probably because I'd never been there, you know, was New Orleans. It's kind of strange that I've never been to New Orleans, but I got to spend some time down in New Orleans, and it's kind of a southern feel, and you know, I got to do some things down there. I didn't get to travel to Florida because I was on an NCAA committee and didn't have the opportunity to go there with a team. But I think that it's interesting because it's all metropolitan cities. It's all different, you know. I look back at a time when we played in an NCAA for women's basketball at Cal, and it took us an hour to get from the hotel to the arena. And I'm thinking, we're only 15 miles away. And that's the way it was in certain cases in some of the cities we were in this year. You might have only been 15 miles away, but you better plan for 45 minutes to an hour on the bus in order to get there. Very similar to Chicago. When we played at Loyola a couple years ago, I mean, we'd go to a game and we'd leave an hour and 30 minutes before, and we only had to go 15 miles. So I think the traffic was interesting. I think it's fun to get to see new cities. Obviously, the Mohegan Sun, where they have the Women's Basketball Conference Championship, is an interesting place to be. In Connecticut, in March, when you think it might at least be decent, and it's snowing and blowing and doing some of those kind of things. So, but if you ask me my probably favorite place I went, and I'd probably have to say New Orleans.
That's a good, yeah, that's a safe one. Safe one, definitely. And a lot of interesting cities. So you traveled, you saw all the, a lot of the campuses, all that. What kind of takeaways did you and the coaches and the rest of the athletic administration come back for as far as facilities or game operations, support staff? What kind of things will Wichita State be looking at in the future now that it's in the American?
Well, I think, where we in the Valley, we led a lot of things in venues, and our venues were some of the nicest, but there's a lot going on in the American. UConn's getting ready to build a new $25 million softball facility. Right now we've had Wilkins Stadium, and we've really been felt like Wilkins Stadium was one of the better stadiums in the Valley, and now we're not even able to host due to our facility. And so I think we're gonna have to look at each one of our facilities and our venues. Obviously we had some challenges in basketball for our fans, in which the conference requires you to take lids off of water bottles and things like that, and we had to move the band, and so there's always different things when you go into a new conference. But I think facilities is one of them. I think we've got a few things we've got to look at and we've got to, think about. We're going to get a host next year, the first conference championship, which will be outdoor track and field. And so we'll know a little bit more after that. But we continue to have to keep moving forward and finding ways that we can be competitive and giving our coaches the best opportunity to recruit the best athletes and have them be able to compete at the level we want them to compete in this conference. And that's obviously the top three in the conference. So we've got work to do, but that's okay that we have work to do. And it's okay that we have new challenges. And I think it's okay that our coaches are up for it. They're ready for it. They've now gone through a year. They know what they got to do. And, we're lucky to have the coaches that we have. We've got a lot of history in the coaches at Wichita State. If you look across the board in women's sports, we've had outside of Coach Adams, most of them have been here 7, 8, 10, 18 years, and that makes a difference when you have some coaches and you have the stability in their staffs. And you look at track, that coaching staff has been together ever since pretty much Coach Rainbolt came. John Wise came with Coach Rainbolt. John Hetzendorf came with Coach Rainbolt. And then Pat Wilson and Heidi were both student athletes here. So I think there's some validity in having coaches that have been around, have had the availability to see on a national level what we need to compete at, and then go out and be able to recruit those athletes.
Continuity is important. I'm glad you brought up the conference championship. That's a question I get a lot as far as which ones rotate around that maybe Wichita State would have an opportunity to get. And when you mentioned softball, I want to be clear, you're talking about the conference tournament, Wichita State right now.
Right.
Wilkins Stadium isn't adequate to host the conference tournament. What other kind of opportunities might be out there for Wichita State on a rotating basis?
Well, volleyball, the way the volleyball program is going to go is you're going to play the conference tournament at the previous year's regular season winner. So if we were to win the conference this year, then we would know a year ahead of time that we would be hosting the conference championship the next year, whether you're in it or not in it. Very similar to the Missouri situation in softball that happened just recently. They were hosting the SEC tournament, and they weren't even in it in softball. And so that's an opportunity. Cross country is kind of a rotation basis. Indoor or outdoor track and field is a rotation. The situation we have with softball right now is our Candlewit. We don't have LED lighting over there, and one of the stipulations from the American Conference is that you have LED lighting, in which allows you to be able to broadcast on ESPN. And so we're working on that. We're working to try to move forward and getting the availability to get that done for Coach Bredbinner and You know, we'll just have to, we'll have to work through some of the issues. But I think probably, you know, obviously men's and women's basketball are bound to neutral sites. I don't envision the women's basketball championship moving from the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. I think they just re-signed another three-year contract there. And I think part of that is the fact that, you know, when we're at the women's basketball tournament at our opening game, there's more people in the stands because the UConn people sell it out. And so I think that's good for women's basketball. You get your student athletes get an opportunity to play in front of a sellout crowd, and they're rooting for whoever they want to root for. You know, they may be rooting for you, they may be rooting for Temple, but when UConn plays, they're obviously going to root for UConn. So I think really and truly, you know, men's and women's golf are kind of stuck in contracts down in Florida. I obviously went with women's golf to Florida to Hammock Beach, and I think that's another, I think there's a one more year on that contract in order to play down there, and then I think they're going to open it up a little bit and look at potentially rotating it from the East Coast to the maybe Midwest down in the Dallas, Houston area. You know, but the warm weather schools don't want to come north to play.
Sure.
Particularly in golf and some things like that. So I think there'll be some opportunities as we move forward, and we just got to make sure our facilities are ready when they're ready to be able to let us host.
Let's zoom out a little bit. Had we had this conversation maybe back in 2003 in that neighborhood, it would have been a lot different. Looking at Wichita State volleyball won its first Valley title a year later, 2004. Women's basketball won its first Valley title in 13, softball in 14. Women's golf had won a couple Gateway Conference titles, but it won its first Valley title in 2014. So we've really seen a lot of improvement, a lot of growth in the women's programs at Wichita State. What's happened over these past 15 years that's kind of changed that?
Well, I think it's making a commitment. You know, in 1998, we wrote a strategic plan, and we talked about where we wanted our programs to be. And then we, you know, 5 years later, we wrote another strategic plan. And it's making a commitment to be able to provide financial, you know, facilities, recruiting budgets, all those things to your programs to be able to compete on a national level. You know, I look back at the 2013-14 season when we won 6 conference championships, you know, in women's sports. We won volleyball, we won women's basketball, we won women's golf, we won women's tennis, and we won softball and outdoor. That's pretty hard to do. When over the years, you know, in the last 10 years when we were in the Valley, we were averaging somewhere around 4 or something of that nature. So I think the key component of it is having great coaches and then keeping great coaches and giving them the resources that they need in order to go out and recruit at the national level. But success, you know, one of our big things when we were in the Valley is we always talked with our coaches about, it's not about one sport, it's about every sport. It's about women's tennis winning, it's about, you know, women's cross country winning, it's about softball winning, it's about every sport. And being able to provide the resources to every sport to get better. And I think that's been the key. And, you know, the hardest thing you do is win a championship. The next hardest thing you do is win it again. And we've been real successful at doing that. And it'll be interesting, you know, to see how our sport programs fluctuate over the next few years. But when I look back and think about the success that we had this year, and we only won one conference championship, that tells you the difference in the Power Six and the Missouri Valley Conference. And the Missouri Valley Conference is a great conference. There's some great competition and things of that nature, but we're just going to have to step up our game. We're going to have to move forward. We're going to have to recruit better athletes. we're going to have to look at each facet of it and say, okay, how can we now win three? You know, if you look back, I think clear back to 2003 and four is the last time we only won one women's conference championship. That's a long time. So we were winning multiple year after year. But surrounding ourselves with great people, great coaches, giving them the resources, and allowing them to do what they do best, and that's coach at the Division I level.
What kind of feedback do you get from coaches about how the American helps or alters or adds to their recruiting pitch? You know, when you can say, you know, now we play SMU, we play Connecticut. Has there been much of a difference that they're noticing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our coaches are using that recruiting all the time. You know, I think probably every time Keitha Adams walks into a prospective student-athlete's home, she's saying, you're going to get to play UConn at least once every year. And that, you know, that makes relevance in what you're doing. And I think Christy Breadbinner's saying, you're going to play in the fourth best conference in the nation. I mean, if you even look at what happened in the selection show for softball this year, you know, the American gets four. You know, the ACC and the Big Ten are somewhat sitting over here right on the same level with us, where the SEC, Pac-12, and Big 12 all obviously are getting some multiples. But that's a huge recruiting tool when you say that, when you can say, you know, every year we're going to play the top 25, you know, at non-conference schedule. That's huge. You know, for Chris Lamb, we're gonna get an opportunity to play down at SMU in an unbelievable environment. We're gonna get an opportunity to play at USF and UCF, and I think it makes a big difference for those coaches as they sit in home visits and say, hey, we're going to play the highest level of schedule that we possibly can play, and we're going to put you in a situation that if we don't win the conference tournament, that you're going to get an at-large.
Great, Becky. Thank you for wrapping up a big year in women's athletics. Appreciate your time. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast.
Thank you, Paul.